Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Jeff Rom has a very good football team. Mm-hmm. They're not as good as Kentucky. David Leary sucks. Okay. We are better than you. We are better than you, Jack Plummer. Boom. Get the F off the field, you bum ass. Get off the field. Go.
Oh my
bye.
God.
Bye.
Scream.
See you later. We win. We win again. All that BS. Mark Ennis, I love you, brother. I'm sorry but for the post games you're going to have because you guys suck.
That.
You guys suck. You
we
suck.
Win. We
I'm
win
sorry,
again.
You suck. We win again. Get out of here, you bums. Boom. Boom. Bye. Oh, boy. Poor Dr. Wong had to hear my voice being lost. I had 100 beers that day, John. I had 100 beers that day.
That was the greatest hits album.
Yeah, it was the greatest hits. It's the Roundtable here on ESPN 680 105.7. I'm James Strebel, Anna Trullo, James Black, and John Wong joining me for the 5 o'clock hour. Excited about that. But let me tell you about our good friends at Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. 27 area locations. You can walk in, drive through, delivery. They do it all. Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. It's Louisville's go-to liquor store. Tomorrow is Wednesday. You know what that means. Buy three, get one free cigar every single Wednesday at Cox's and Evergreen Liquors all over the city. Anywhere you go, you'll get the deal. Cox'sLouisville.com, 437-9680. And so we were talking about Bucky's, the gas station / restaurant beforehand. Now, one of our producers, Zach Money Cantrell, at your boy ZC on Twitter, says, listening to James Strebel and Anna Trullo talk about Bucky's while sitting by my pool makes me want to drop everything and check it out. This now is my life goal.
To life's go, mission.
To check out Bucky's. But let's go ahead and bring him in. Dr. John Wong.
Hey,
yeah!
Hey, right.
He gets the train horn.
Man
of the hour. Author of the murder mystery novel. Now, you're used to doing nonfiction. We'll get to all this here in a minute. The new novel, Name, Image, and Murder, is out. Amazon.com. Now, from what I've seen on Twitter, John, sales are going very, very well for you.
Yeah, I'm a little bit biased, but I think it's the book read of the summer. Anybody
that's right.
Who wants an exciting, kind of light, fast-paced, fast-moving book, Name, Image, and Murder. That's it. But before we get to that, James,
yeah.
I cannot let you get away with all the disparaging remarks you made about the media today at Mark Pope's press conference.
Yeah!
Yes.
Look, the cookies!
I realize I am a guest here, and I'm honored to be here.
And we love having you here.
But as a media member, I feel the obligation to kind of speak out on that.
Sure,
go
ahead.
I need to set the record straight on some of James Strebel's peanut gallery comments about those cookies. First of all, the cookies were not from Mark Pope.
Okay.
Did you know that?
Oh!
No.
I did not know that.
He actually did not know who brought the cookies. It turned out that Deb Moore, who's, of course, the assistant SID.
She called it.
I was
yes,
right.
She called
she
it.
She was the one
I just
who
guessed.
Brought the cookies. So, yes, I saw the cookies. I took pictures of the cookies. I tweeted out pictures of the cookies. But I did not go gaga over
no,
the
you
cookies.
Did. I saw
you
your
didn't.
Tweet.
I did not.
Yours was more under control.
I didn't even eat the cookies.
You did it?
You
no,
didn't have
no,
a cookie?
Well, I figured there they're put out there for media. Who knows what's in them?
That's a great. Yeah. That's a great point. It could be rat poison. You never know. Yeah. Or it could be some THC. Those special cookies. John be driving here like, what the hell's going on?
Up back in Omaha.
Drew Franklin's on the roof. You never know what's going to happen.
I do feel like your tweet was good. I felt like some of the tweets were like, this is the nicest guy that's ever happened.
Because unlike you, most of them like gave Pope the credit. Gave him the credit, not Deb Moore.
It was Deb Moore.
Yeah, it was Deb Moore. Thanks. Deb Moore. Email me back, Deb. Come on. So John Wong here with us. And by the way, looking as dapper as always. He's got the sport coat on. He's got College World Series pin.
Yes, I'm very, very proud
very
of that.
Nice.
A bucket list item checked off.
Yes.
I'm proud to wear this pin and especially to see it be in Omaha when the Wildcats were there also.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Now, what was the vibe? Before we get to your book, that's going to be the number one thing on this segment. What was the vibe, though, when Kentucky lost? It was one of those things where they lost, but it was still a cool experience for fans. They had a good showing in the Rocco's Jello Shot
Challenge.
Yeah, Shot Challenge.
Did you go to Rocco's?
Yeah. I did not. Okay. I did not. In fact, I had some obligations that I had to actually be back in Lexington before they actually lost.
Gotcha. Okay.
It turned out it was a perfect time for me to leave.
It really was. Yeah. You made out great. You got to see him play and didn't have to stay.
I didn't miss anything.
Right. So let's get to the book because the book, Name, Image, Murder. So the number one question I have for you, and I know Aina's got a lot as well, and then we're going to have you read some of it to our audience.
Good.
So
fantastic.
Kind of pique their interest.
Yes.
And you tell us how to get it and everything. What inspired you to, because you're a nonfiction guy. You've written about the Kentucky basketball program. You did that biography with Alan Cutler.
Yes.
And you know, you honed in on nonfiction. What made you decide to switch routes and go down the fiction path? Something that's totally different for you.
Yeah, I'm a voracious reader ever since my probably late 20s, early 30s. Mm-hmm. I've always loved books, especially fiction books. I've loved crime fiction, action thrillers, things like that. I love Frederick Forsyth. I love Dean Koontz.
Yeah.
Nowadays, Michael Connelly, I read a lot of his stuff. I've always loved to read. And as I'm reading these books, I'm thinking, you know, one of these days, I'd like to do some of that.
Yeah.
But obviously, as a media member, the opportunity never really came about. And then all of a sudden, you've got COVID. You've got Calipari leaving.
Yeah.
All these ideas start forming in my mind. It didn't take me that long to write this thing, but it probably took me about 25 years to think about the topic
to
come into a book like this. But yeah, strictly fiction. If anybody thinks that any of these characters are associated with any one person, then that's your imagination going wild. I will deny it to my grave.
Like, I didn't base this on any singular person.
But seriously, we all are a compilation of our experiences in life. So if anybody goes through and reads this and thinks it has nothing to do with John Hwang and what he's done, then they're probably a little bit delusional themselves.
Sure.
It is. All these things are just compilations of experiences that I've had. Most of it happens to be with UK sports that end up in the book in some way, shape, or form, in a fun way.
And now you said it took you 25 years to, you know, kind of think of it and formulate it. And you said it didn't take you that long to write it. How long did it take you to write the book, and how many pages is it?
Yeah, it's about 330 pages or so.
That's a good book. That's a good size book. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot in it. And one of the things is as I read, one of my pet peeves is that I don't want to be bored. If there's a book that, you know, starts out great but then kind of fizzles toward the middle, then chances are I may not end up finishing it.
Right.
One of my top priorities with this thing was to make it fast-paced. I didn't want anybody to be bored about things that were going on.
Sure.
Bam, bam, bam. Things are happening. People are getting killed. Here. So exciting things. It started out as strictly a mystery murder, a whodunit.
Okay.
All right. Here's this Hall of Fame basketball coach. He gets brutally murdered during the course of a championship season.
Oh, wow.
Got all these shady characters coming in. Which one of them actually did that diabolical deed? It then later kind of turned turned a little bit because with all the happenings that were going on in college basketball,
sure.
this name, image, and likeness, and transfer portal, and onset of sports gambling, it almost turned into a little bit more of a college basketball commentary disguised as this murder mystery. I wanted to appeal to everybody.
That's a good idea. That's a commentary,
fans,
yeah.
Yeah, to fiction fans. You know, faith is very, very important to me.
Sure, absolutely.
So there is a lot of spiritual satire tied
in
that.
So,
I come out, if you didn't know me, you think I'm slamming the church. And in a way, I am. There's a lot of hypocrisy. The university that this coaches for is called PTLU, Praise the Lord University.
Oh, wow. Little,
we need
like Liberty, like Liberty, like Liberty University vibes there.
Well, you can go ahead. You can go ahead and make that assumption,
okay.
But I'm not going to make that
sure,
assumption.
Sure, sure.
I love that. Well, you're in the right place. I know we're both big readers,
yeah.
and just with faith and everything, so I love that.
I can't wait, then, because I think this will be right in your sweet spot.
I'm
hoping
excited.
You're going to love this.
And thing. I have a question for you. So yeah. I'm always curious, of course, as a big reader, how... Your first work of fiction. What was your writing process like? Did you have the ending in mind already and then kind of wrote backwards
Good
to
question.
It? Or
yeah.
did you just kind of start and it, you know, would you do it the same way if you did it again?
I did this one, Seat of the Pants.
Okay.
Okay.
I had kind of an idea in my mind what I wanted the main framework to be like. But in terms of any of the specifics, it was just whatever was hot at the moment, whatever popped into my mind. I'd go to a Cal press conference. Somebody would say, something, ask a particular question. I'd say, you know, I would have asked that, but I would have asked it this way. And
oh, yeah.
I really wanted to see how he would respond.
Yeah.
When you're writing fiction, you're able to do that.
You can do whatever you want.
You're in control, right? You can go ahead and you can make it up if you absolutely want to. And so with this book, there's a lot of that. The protagonist is actually a sports writer.
Oh.
I thought, I've got to write about things I know about.
Yeah.
I could either make him a dentist or a sports writer.
Just got off his teeth cleaning.
Yeah, I figure since it's a basketball book, I better go ahead and stick with the sports writer part. So the very first chapter begins with the sports writer throwing out a question to this Hall of Fame basketball coach at his very first press conference. And it's kind of inappropriate. It's not one that you usually would want
not
to
Not one
throw
of those
out.
Questions like, oh, you know, what went wrong in that game?
Or, yeah,
where
or
are you starting?
Right.
So it was a deep, hard-hitting question. In fact, you promised me I was going to be able to do a little reading.
Absolutely.
I can certainly do that, and we can kind of get this thing launched.
Let's
yeah.
do it.
All right. One more question or one more comment, and then we'll do the reading for sure, because I think that's the reason we have you on. We wanted you to read this live on air for our listeners.
Be careful what you ask for. We don't know how this is going to go.
Now, you talk about writing from experience, and a lot of big-time successful authors do that. For instance, I read a lot of Stephen King,
yeah,
and he writes a lot about the Northeast mm-hmm. part of the country. Most of his books take place in Maine. Bangor, Maine is where he's from. A lot of his books, he writes from the point of view of an author or a musician. Now, other times, like he's writing, you know, from the point of view of a ghost or an alien or something. But a lot of his books, like the central character is like based on like maybe what he would do. And that has to make it a little easier for you. It's like, okay, this is the world I live in. This is what I know. So it gives you a good base to start, at least, when you're writing that book.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you'll people who follow Kentucky basketball specifically will read through this, and there'll be so many things that'll be familiar to them. You know, I talk about earned, not given. I talk about pooping ice cream.
Yeah!
Things of that nature.
Yes!
So all of that's in there. Somebody who doesn't know about Kentucky basketball, it'll go completely over their head. I asked my son-in-law. He's from California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he thought the book was great, fast-moving, but that was somebody who didn't even get what I thought was all the good stuff in
the
it.
The Easter eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Easter eggs. All right, let's do it. You have some sections picked out for us that you'd like to highlight and read.
So
all right, let's go.
So
this is author, media member John Wong. Follow him at KY Wongs on Twitter if you want to. But this is him reading from his book, Name, Image, and Murder. Go ahead, Dr. Wong.
First of all, isn't that a great title?
It's so good.
That's a great title.
Yeah,
no,
I'm hoping that's going to suck in a lot of
that pulls
readers.
You in right there. Name, Image, and Murder. Murder.
I do not want to give any spoiler alerts on here.
Sure.
So let's just go ahead and start at the very beginning.
Okay.
Let's do it.
This
let's do
is
it.
The prologue.
Okay.
All right. It was a gruesome way to die. William Gallucci lay prone on the crimson-stained carpet of his opulent office floor. The bombastic 58-year-old basketball coach of Praise the Lord University had been having the time of his life shortly before someone paid him the ultimate insult. His killer had haphazardly rearranged Gallucci's once handsome face, reducing the victim's movie star good looks into a pulverized pulp of torn skin and crushed bones. Below his severed neck, Gallucci's bloated torso sported a bevy of knife-like puncture wounds, as if the intruder who did this diabolical deed was intent on evening the final score once and for all. Of course, if you knew Bill Gallucci, you wouldn't be shocked that someone put him down. He was your proverbial blank hole. An arrogant SOB who had at some point probably insulted your mother. God bless Gallucci, however, with an amazing basketball mind. Even on the downhill slope of his rock star career, he had already racked up more wins than all but a handful of his active coaching colleagues. Honorable mention was never good enough for Gallucci, though. The man oozed ego and was forever shooting for the pinnacle of the profession, looking to pass the likes of Mike Krzyzewski, Jim Boeheim, Roy Williams, and Bob Knight, and establish himself firmly on the Mount Rushmore of all-time winningest college basketball coaches. Nothing was getting in Gallucci's way until now.
Wow! Let's go! John, that's really good.
John.
Dude, that's really good.
I have so many thoughts.
The verbiage, the flow of the language.
Some alliteration.
Man, that's good.
So were you big on the doing the synonyms? I feel like that would
It was. There are a lot of adjectives in here. In fact, some of the big criticisms about my sports writing itself is that I make it a little bit too flowery.
Yeah.
That's okay.
This
that's
is
okay.
an opportunity for me to kind of go way
that.
Overboard and be exactly who I am, what I want to do.
And that's a good point by you. Is you know, sports, people that read sports a lot of times just give me the facts, give me the scores, give me the details, and now
and there's
you can,
a lot of instances where that's fine.
TV
that's
writing,
what people
they tell
need
you to
go for.
Make it short, make it to the point. I feel like I used to be good at creative writing, but like TV writing, you got to really keep it short. I love the names too.
Bill Gallucci.
Sounds Italian. Sounds familiar.
58 years old. Oh, nice suit.
That is awesome.
Rubbing people the wrong way.
You think John Calipari gets his hands on this book?
Well, you don't know. I mean, I would probably be happy if you kind of make a little little comment about that.
But, I hope so.
Yeah, don't be too quick, Ann, to say it's John Calipari.
Oh, no. Could be
anybody.
Well, if you actually looked at
Tom Izzo. Well, he's Italian.
If you looked at the initials, it's Billy.
OBG.
Yeah.
Oh, it just blew our minds. All right. Would you like to read some more?
One more section.
Please
here.
Do. Yeah, no, this is great.
This is the athletics director.
Okay, right? The AD.
When he finds out about the murder. Butch Feinbaum took a couple of Advils and prepared for the onslaught. The PTLU athletics director thought glowingly of himself as a man of action. Most ADs, upon hearing the tragic news, would have soiled their pants. Not Butch Feinbaum. His basketball program was in the midst of a historic run, seeking a coveted national championship in their inaugural tilt with Gallucci at the helm. Now, with Gallucci laying on a cement slab, the program's date with destiny had taken a major hit. Feinbaum needed to call in reinforcements.
Wow! That's really Butch Feinbaum.
You gotta go. We gotta get you on Feinbaum to read this.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, that would be fantastic. Get you on Paul Feinbaum. He'd be flattered. He would be absolutely flattered that his name was in some way.
I imagine that's gotta be one of the most fun things of like writing fiction is coming up with the names.
Yeah, oh yeah. How much fun did you have with that?
I did. I'll admit I didn't spend a whole lot of time on it. Sometimes these things just kind of popped up, but other times it was very, very intentional who I wanted it to be. For example, the character that I honored Anna with.
Yeah!
That's one of my favorite things that's ever happened.
She was initially named Heather.
Oh, Okay.
But I thought, okay, Heather, Anna Maria. I can make that change. I can make that
Made
change.
My life.
Here's the question that I referenced at the sports conference.
Okay.
At the initial press conference. This is the reporter, Kyle Sexton.
What's his first question? Yes,
yeah,
please read that.
This is his first question. He says, Coach Gallucci, do you believe the end justifies the means when it comes to recruiting star athletes? That's not a typical question I would usually ask a new coach at his introductory press conference. Most of the time, I'd just lob up a few softballs for the benefit of the friendly microphones and welcoming cameras. I decided to throw a fastball instead, right at this pompous prick's smarmy head. The truth is, I didn't think William Gallucci was a right hire for PTLU's basketball program. The bum had a history of reckless behavior. He needed to be held accountable. I volunteered to be the nagging thorn in his flesh. My name's Kyle Sexton. I'm a sports reporter for the Lexington Guardian Gazette, the local news rag. I'm very good at what I do. I can smell bull blank from 100 yards away, and I'll easily go to the ends of the earth to scoop out a storyline worth reporting. Some people have labeled me aggressive, overly assertive, and a bit on the hostile side. I prefer to describe myself as industrious, dogged, and indefatigable. Those are traits that have served me well. Unfortunately, they're also qualities that have gotten me into a lot of combative confrontations. This looked like the beginning of one of them.
Wow, that's really
good.
So outside of the prologue is the rest of the novel written from the point of view of Kyle Sexton.
Most of it is.
Okay.
There are a few, I wanted all of it to, but there were some instances that I just had to get some of the plot out in times that he was not there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, gotcha. Right. Yeah, we're the murder scene and things like that.
Was it hard to connect it all with the plot? Like, I'd imagine, I just have always imagined just fiction writers' brains just blow my mind.
It was very, very difficult tying everything together because you have all these loose ends, and then all of a sudden, you're 250 pages in.
Right.
And you're thinking, okay, I've got to somehow wind this thing up without disappointing everybody who's committed the time and effort to read this.
Sure, like writing yourself into a corner almost.
Right. For sure.
So you've got to finish strong, though. That's super, super important. I think I've done that, but the jury's still out. This was scary, guys. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. It was completely different than what I had done originally. So I'm hoping that people aren't going to trash me too much right out of the gate.
I don't think so. Anna will attack.
I will.
She will attack.
Everybody's a critic, and that's right. That's fine.
But I feel like you're very honest about you impressed me so much because you've done so many things in your career, and I just want to know where you get this confidence to keep trying new things, because you were
an
orthodontist
question.
Or dentist, orthodontist, and then you made the jump, got into media, and now like just trying fiction, that's hard to do for anybody.
The answer to that question is, and I think you can agree with this, and you too, James, that life is short, right?
Yeah.
We only have so many opportunities to do the things that we love, and one of the worst things that you want to do is end up living your life and then looking back and having all these regrets that, hey, I didn't do this or this. Orthodontics was great. I mean, financially, it provided me a great baseline to where I don't have to worry about the next paycheck. Extremely, extremely thankful for that. But on the other hand, my passion has always been writing.
Mm-hmm.
I've always loved University of Kentucky sports. This was a way in which I could combine that passion and still write about University of Kentucky sports.
In a roundabout way, but a way that is, you know, it seems to me endearing to Kentucky fans, as you've pointed out, the nuggets and Easter eggs that you drop through there, and even sports fans in general. So even if they're not a Kentucky fan, they see, you know, Bill's name is like, oh, is he talking about this coach or this coach?
Yeah.
He said it could be left to their imagination who you're talking about. You can kind of fill in the personality as you go, like this matches Dana Hurley's personality or whomever it may be. It's the interpretation of the reader that makes it fun, where you're not just, no, this is who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. This is what this is. And this is, you know, you leave it to the imagination.
Right. It also seems like a vehicle, too, real quick, sorry, to get your own thoughts out about a subject and just change it.
Exactly. Like I said, it's a commentary on essentially the landscape of college basketball right now, mainly from my perspective, because I get to write it.
Because you're the author, absolutely.
So a lot of these ideas that are coming forth in Kyle, in the AD, in all these other characters, they are an expression of myself, something that I probably wouldn't feel appropriate writing on my NOLA Media site as part of a general public thing. But because it's fiction, I can go ahead and go hog wild with something.
You can
like
say
that.
Whatever you want to say.
Right, and I do. I make no mistake. This is not left up to interpretation. I trash Duke. I trash Tennessee. I trash Louisville.
Let's go, John. Let's go. Now, James, he's a Louisville fan, so he's
all in good fun. James.
All in good fun, James. All in good fun.
You will love it.
It just happens to be time for break.
Yeah, we got to get to a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the book. I'm going to talk also about today, everything that you got to do today and hear today from Mark Pope. And then we'll read some text. Texter says right here, John getting medieval. So I like some very positive text coming through. So let's take a quick break. Coming back, we'll read a little bit more from the book. And then we'll continue with John Wong, our special guest today. And man, it's been fun. It's the Roundtable ESPN 680 105.7.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
John Fong, NOLA Media, just the cats.
You're listening to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
All right, welcome back to the show. James Strebel here with Anna Tirillo, James Black, and our special guest, John Wong, reading his new fiction novel, Name, Image, and Murder. Just want to remind everybody about the local additional programming we have here on ESPN Louisville. Wednesdays, Louisville Sports Live, 7 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. Thursday, Soccer City, catching you up on the doings of Lou City FC and Racing Louisville. That's every Thursday, 6 p.m., ESPN 680 105.7. Fridays, Inside Church Hill Downs, 6 p.m. on ESPN 680 105.7. Saturday, Down the Stretch, 9 a.m. on 93.9 The Ville. That's followed by the Victory Formation Sports Show with Jeff Lightsey and James Black, 10 to 11 a.m. on 93.9 The Ville. And finally, we wrap up your week, Sunday Morning Hangover, 10 to noon. Nick Kern, Phil Baker, Zach Cantrell here on ESPN 680 105.7. Now, Anna's going to read a little bit of her part of her character that she's not that she's based on, but she's named after. Let me read it. Let's do a couple texts here. I'd like a choose your own adventure style book where you're James Strebel and you navigate your way in the studio full of U of L bums. Except James Black and Nikki V, they are cool. Texter, I'm only reading if there's a detective. Nope, not reading that. Texter, does John Wong think that Joey Votto is a Hall of Famer?
you'll have to read the book.
There you go. Okay. Ask Mr. Wong if he would write a follow-up book on this.
It's crossed my mind, but a lot of it is going to be dependent on how this one is received.
Okay.
I'm thinking there could be a series, Name, Image, and Murder. There's basketball. Now there's going to be football. In fact, I've already named the second one. The football one would be called Name, Image, and Murder, Gridiron Greed.
Gridiron Greed.
It all depends on how this one does. I may just be one and done if I get trashed on this. If I crash and burn, that's it.
Hopefully you'll be like Anthony Davis, one and done.
Right,
super successful, one and done.
My goal, James, is to move product on here. So
sure, go ahead.
Here's a tweet from Oscar Combs that should just dispel anybody's idea that the book is not good. This is what Oscar says.
Okay.
All right. He says, it may be the most intriguing fictional novel in college sports history.
Whoa. Yeah. That's coming from Oscar Combs, father of the case.
High praise.
Pause.
Very high praise.
Texter asks, are you going to do an Audible version, and is there a time frame for that?
I really would like to. I'd like to do it in my own voice because you can see the enthusiasm I get. I know when I'm writing. I want it to come out in my voice on that.
Sure.
But it's one step at a time right now. Right now, it's just the Kindle version. The hardcover's out there. You can get that on Amazon.
Okay, so Amazon, just type in name, image, and murder, and then you'll be able to get that book. And, you know, Amazon's really quick with stuff, so that'll be your house. Or if you download it Kindle, you can have it automatically.
Yeah. And I looked at it just before I came in, and Amazon, they do weird things. I think they actually reduced the price of it already.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah, which is fine. I'll still get the regular royalties.
Sure.
But I think you can go on there right now, and I think it's not much, but it's like 5% off.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's where I got mine. I'm waiting for it to come in the mail, and I wish I had it right now so you could sign it for me, but I'll see you again.
Yeah,
you can do it.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten my official copies. All I have is this proof. It still has misspellings in it. So.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, so Anna has a character in the novel.
Yeah, let me just ahead. Set the stage.
Let's go.
Anna, when I cue you, then... Okay. You can come on in on this. So after that contentious press conference, the reporter Kyle, he gets called into the athletics director's office. He's kind of hauled on the carpet. He's saying, "Hey, you can't be asking the stuff about coach like that."
Right.
His introductory press conference. So he kind of gets things worked out with them. The athletic director leaves, but the assistant athletic director of basketball, which is Anna Maria McCreary.
Oh, so that's you.
Yeah. That's me.
Well, that's her name. All right. So they're in the room. She's in there with the reporter. So the reporter is addressing her, and he says, "I know it's not easy for you working for a guy like Gallucci," I said, mustering up as much sympathy as my body would allow. "Personally, I don't know why you joined him here. It's none of my business, but you probably had plenty of other opportunities to go another route. Don't take this the wrong way, but you don't seem like a loyalty or bust kind of gal. You've got morals and ethics you adhere to. You know my sources are correct, contrary to what Coach said at the news conference yesterday. He's done a ton of things I know you don't agree with. Why do you choose to hide behind such obvious hypocrisy?" Begrudgingly give kudos to McCreary. Like a good card player, she didn't show her hand immediately. She said nothing at all. Like me, she was playing along, trying to get the other guy to commit first. Reading McCreary's body language, however, I knew I was on the right track. McCreary didn't come along with Gallucci to PTLU out of any sense of loyalty. Sure, Gallucci paid her handsomely, but she really wasn't given a choice whether to stay or go. The best way to make sure that any of Gallucci's prior activities remained under wraps was to keep McCreary close by. In the wacky world of William Gallucci, McCreary knew exactly how the sausage was made. Now, I wanted the recipe, too.
My job is to support Coach, McCreary responded, carefully choosing her words. He pushes everyone around him hard, players, coaches, administrators. It's part of what's made him so successful in the past. I'm not one to judge. We're all hypocrites in one area or another. Perhaps you should talk with some of the players and get their perspective. See what they say.
Fantastic.
Wow. Good job, Anna. How about that?
Yeah. It was so much joy.
That's awesome.
Dr. John Wong, thank you for doing a little.
Start memorizing the lines because when the Netflix offer comes along, we know who we're going to be casting.
Put me in the TV series. I'm so ready.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for that.
Anna on Netflix. That would be fantastic. Now,
that makes my day.
This leads me to this question because you said the Kyle Sexton gets called into the 80s office. Have you ever been called into the 80s office because of the questions you've asked?
I have.
No way.
And,
that happens?
And they have, they have actually kind of counseled me as to what I need to or should not say.
How did that make you feel? Did it make you feel validated in your own mind of like I'm a serious media member and I'm going to ask these questions and it pushed their button, so it must have had a good reaction or bad reaction with the fan base is what you're kind of going for. So how did it make you feel when that happened?
Yeah, in a way it made me feel good because I did feel like that I was asking questions that people wanted to know the answer to. But with UK, there's they want to institute so much control that part of me was a little bit concerned because, hey, if you're going to be limiting access in any way because you think somebody's not asking questions that are along the party lines, then that could be detrimental to me. That's not fair to my outlet that I write for. So that was my biggest concern.
Yeah, I've never heard of that happening ever. That blows my mind. And that's unsettling.
And they do it in a diplomatic way.
For
you know, they say, hey, yeah, John, we love the way that you're doing this, this, and this, and this, and this. But
yeah, there's always a big you know, but at the end of it.
This was basketball that this happened. You don't have to say, but
it was in general.
Yeah.
Just in general?
In general.
Because I think there are, even before I worked directly with UK, there is more control around like the sports information and stuff. Not just as a fact, not in a bad way. I'm not passing any judgment on that. But it is definitely more of a controlled environment than some places. So
if they had their druthers, they'd druther that no media existed outside
of
what they're putting out.
Mm-hmm.
And, absolutely.
And you can kind of understand that.
Yeah.
And that's why I enjoy, you know, what I'm able to do with this show and on these airwaves, you know, with me, I don't, you know, I'm a Kentucky fan. Obviously, I'm wearing a Kentucky basketball shirt right now. I'm a Kentucky fan first and then radio host second, but I like it because I don't have an affiliation. I don't work for the University of Kentucky, so I can say whatever I want, and I'm not at those press conferences, and I'm not there for them to see me and be like, hey, you know, pipe down a little bit, which I'm sure they would with some of the stuff I've said and done on Twitter. Like, I'm sure I would have been called to the carpet as well at some point in my career.
I think it's important as a media member, as an objective media member, to not get too close to any one of the individuals, because if you're friends with Stoops, like Stoops is my neighbor, and I feel like that I've got to hold back a little bit more. I've got to extend him the courtesy of being a neighbor. It kind of interferes. It's hard to compartmentalize.
Yeah.
Some people can do it. Somebody like Alan Cutler, he's an outlier. He's able to do that. And he's able to trash Calipari, even though Calipari wrote the foreword to our book.
Yes.
I still can't believe he did that. Yeah. Yeah. If Calipari wrote the foreword to Name, Image, and Murder, I'd be saying all sorts of good things about the University of Kentucky coach.
Oh, man.
Absolutely. And you know, I think that's important. You talk about being able to compartmentalize these things and not being able to, you know, hold back and you know, sometimes hold back your punches. But that must be hard. Like, you see Stoops outside, you know, taking out his trash, or you're walking your dog and there he is, you know, driving past, and he kind of gives you the stink eye because you have something difficult. So yeah, that has to be hard.
The real key is to be able to ask the difficult questions, but still be able to do it in a diplomatic way,
sure,
in which they're not taking offense.
It's not like a personal shot.
Yeah.
It's a question that needs to be asked.
Be tactful.
Right.
And media needs people to do that. Like you said, like just like Jerry Tipton, like people get pissed off at Jerry Tipton all the time because he'd, you know, be critical of the basketball program or critical of the crowd size or whatever. You know, the infamous, you know, Jerry Tipton pre-game Rupp Arena pictures where he's like, this is the upper deck in Rupp Arena, Rupp Arena today. But you need guys like Jerry Tipton.
Oh, yeah.
You need guys out there that will be critical and point out, like, hey, this isn't going the way it's supposed to go.
This is media day. This is not coaches day.
Exactly. Yeah. And he was right. And
by the way, that's in the book.
That's a great man. And it took John Calipari aback. And it's hard to catch that dude off guard because he seems like he's ready for anything and everything all the time.
Yeah.
When Jerry Tipton fired back at him like that, and he kind of like bumbled and stumbled a little bit, it's like, wow, he caught Cal off guard with that. You need people like that to do it.
And Cal was he changed. COVID changed him. He was different post-COVID in dealing with the media. Gone was any of that banter, that fun that used to be there.
Used to hit you back a little bit.
Yeah, it was almost like, hey, I don't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You
know,
what are you asking me
And I want you all here. I don't want to be here. I don't want you all here. Ask me these questions.
Y'all don't matter.
Now, you were at the Mark Pope press conference today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I know it's the honeymoon phase right now with Mark Pope. How's his vibe compared to John Calipari's vibe when you talk to him today?
You know, he looked tired to me already. Maybe not surprisingly. Look what he's had to do. He's been going 50 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour for the entire time that he's been here. I mean, he was still enthusiastic. He joked. There was banter back and forth. He talked about how difficult it was for him to drive that stick down in Argentina.
Yes.
But he did look like he wasn't that bubbly guy that you saw at the initial press conference.
It was
kind of like business as usual. But he was diplomatic. He thanked all the media members afterwards. He said, I know you've got a difficult job to do. There's going to be times when things are going great, and I'm going to love reading what you write. There are going to be times when things aren't going so great. I'm still going to enjoy reading what you write.
Wow.
I know it's tough to do. I know it's you've got a difficult job. So there's a little part of that acknowledgement that, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but at least just being able to hear that from his mouth initially right out of the gate shows you that, hey, this guy probably gets it.
And to know that you have a job to do as well, that's brave of him to say, I wouldn't even be able to look at it.
Right.
That could be the best day of my career, and I don't want to know what anybody's saying.
Exactly. Well, that and for him to have the self-realization that this isn't always going to be peaches and cream and go big blue all the time. And it's interesting you said he already looks tired, and you're right, John. He is not, and you know this too, as much as we follow it. He hasn't stopped since he's been named the coach of Kentucky. He's been going to Argentina. He's been going to Florida for these, AAU events. He's recruiting. He's on the recruiting trail. He was just visited a recruit. He was flying coach on an airplane.
That amazed me.
Yeah.
That big tall guy.
Exactly. Stuck in coach or whatever. And I bet he's a little worn out.
That's almost amazing as bringing cookies to the press conference.
You're right.
That he did not do that. Remember, right?
Right.
But he did fly coach, right?
He did fly coach. Yeah,
that impressed me. I was like, I want to be flying coach.
Could you imagine John Calipari flying coach?
Oh, no.
Not even my own family members.
Right,
can you imagine you're trying to get in your row and Mark Pope is like in the middle seat?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
All 7 feet of him.
Are your legs okay? Are your knees broken?
Right. Right. No, but it seems like, Kentucky basketball turning a new page with Mark Pope and that initial meeting with the media, going so well. And it looks like he's done a pretty good job of endearing himself to fans. But at the same time, while everyone's singing his praises and telling him how great it is and how great it is to have him here and how it's so different from Cal and we needed that, the proof will be in the pudding in November when they tip off with Duke and then they play Ohio State and they play Louisville and they play all these tough teams. Then we'll see how the vibe around Mark Pope is when there's maybe some adversity, especially in the first year.
Yeah, but you've got to admit, he probably has a full year, a grace period, don't you think?
I was just going to ask you that.
Anna, do you think that they would have to be for you to really start pulling
their
hair out?
I was just going
to
ask you that because me and Shreeble, I think we differ a little bit. Your expectations, Shreeble's, are kind of like do as good or better than Calipari in that first year, or why do we?
As far as the tournament's concerned,
or why do we get rid of him? I think for me, it's a little bit longer because it's like you have your first year to build your team, I think, to really see what the highs and lows are here, what's your obstacles here, and figure out ways to maneuver around them to really get in the trenches and do your best that you can do. I don't think it's fair to I don't think you're going to do your best work your first year. So I don't think we're going to see the pinnacle of what he can do. So definitely, I think make the tournament. But if they absolutely come out there and win 4 games, unlike, not referencing anyone else around here, but that would be awful, and I wouldn't accept that. But I think it's definitely a grace period for me. I don't expect him to come out and just absolutely kill it. What about you?
Yeah, I think a lot of times you have to beat the right teams. It would be very helpful if he beat Louisville and beat Arkansas and somehow upset Tennessee. But I think it would have to be just a complete train wreck for the natives to start turning against them, especially in the first year. But yeah, in terms of specifics, I'd like the team to think that the team would be competitive in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Don't necessarily have to win it. They obviously do have to make the tournament or should make the tournament, and I'd love it if they made it into the second weekend, which we haven't been there in a little while.
Well, that's kind of where I am. I think you and I view it very similarly. Mm-hmm. And you speak about the second weekend. We did a whole segment yesterday. They had those numbers of tournament wins since 2020, and number one was like UConn with 12 or whatever it was, and UK wasn't on the list. And you look at that, and it's a very stark reminder of why John Calipari is no longer here. You know, you have teams like Oregon State on that list. Yeah. You have teams like UCLA. You have St. Peter's was on that list for, you know, obvious reasons. You know, they won three games in the tournament here recently, and Kentucky not being on it is problematic for fans.
That should be a litmus test. I mean, we're not talking about national championships, which we all know is very, very difficult to win.
Yeah.
A lot of luck involved. A last shot couldn't go in here and there. You get upset. But if you're looking at tournament wins, Kentucky should be a heck of a lot better than they are right now in terms of overall number. Take somebody like UConn. I mean, Kentucky should be like UConn. If they've done it, why can't Kentucky do it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, it, you know, you look at it, too. You should be able to accumulate tournament wins when you're playing in the first round teams like Oakland, teams like St. Peter's. And that's, you know, there are still some very staunch Calipari defenders out there that I, you know, kind of go back and forth with on social media. It's like, look, this isn't me hating on John Calipari. Because I still like Cal. Mm-hmm. I still hold good memories of John Calipari while he was at Kentucky. But it was evident that a change needed to be made because the standard, his own words, the gold standard, was not being met.
And the fan base was so divided that there was not a chance in France that they could come together even with any degree of success. There were actually people who were rooting against Kentucky just to validate the fact that they wanted Calipari gone.
Yeah.
But you're right, James. Proof is in the pudding this year for Pope, because you got a roster of 12, and he's only coached one of those 12 before. It's going to be a big, big question mark whether all those guys can kind of come together and form that cohesive unit that's going to make a big, big run.
Well, he did make
by the end of the year.
He did make a comment today about that. Someone asked him about how's the team going or whatever, and he said normally when you're coaching older players from other programs, sometimes it's very difficult to get them to, you know, get the mindset that you want for your team and to buy into your system and your verbiage and things that you say might be different from where they were before, like Oklahoma or Dayton or whatever. But he made the comment that, you know, all these guys have bought in and have already kind of come together, and he likes the pieces of the team. And that might be coach speech, but I think that's important to know that, you know, with the transfer portal, especially with Louisville, Kentucky this year, the entire team is the transfer portal for both teams.
And that's probably going to be the way it's going to be from here on. We better get used to it.
Now, what are you worried about?
I'm always worried.
Well, like for instance, you know, the under John Calipari, we were so used to the recruiting being almost the highlight of the program for a lot of fans, you know, landing the John Walls and the Carl Anthony Townses, and last year, you know, the DJ Wagners and Robert Dillingham and Aaron Bradshaw's, to where that was able to, okay, so if the season stunk, well, we still have this recruiting class coming in. We know we have some, you know, future NBA players that will be playing with this. That might not be the same with Mark Pope around.
Yeah, when people ask me, you want the chicken or the steak, my answer is yes. I want to be competitive year in and year out, and I'd prefer to do it with five-star people. Right?
Sure, right. We all would. Yeah. Anybody would.
But the excitement of being in the hunt every year, we all went through those tubby years. It was difficult. It was difficult not even being mentioned. You weren't relevant anymore. You weren't in contention. At least with Cal, early years, certainly, every single year there was talk of Kentucky being a contender for the national championship.
Yeah.
I like that. I think that's the right place where the program with the greatest tradition in the history of college basketball needs to be. We need to be at the top. We don't need to take a second backseat to UConn or anybody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a lot of fun. I wish I could keep you longer and do more, but we got to get out of here. So I want to thank John Wong for coming in and being a part of it today and reading your book on air, Name, Image, Murder. Get on Amazon. Obviously, thank you to Anna. She'll be back tomorrow on the show. We'll do Weird Wednesday. We'll have Kittrick Haskins on here. And we'll have some more fun here on the roundtable. Again, go to Amazon.com, Name, Image, and Murder. Dr. John Wong, thank you so much. We'll see you all tomorrow. And everyone have a good evening. The weather looks kind of crummy, so be careful out there if you're driving this roundtable. ESPN 680, 105.7.